Good morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama is Kuf Aleph 101. We're going to be starting today at the Mishnah and Kuf Amud Beis. A very short daf yesterday allowed us the opportunity to catch up. We are beginning with the Mishnah and Kuf Amud Beis, and let's get underway. The Mishnah over here is going to continue discussing and describing ways in which I cause monetary damage to another person, and as a result of that, I'm going to be chayav. The context of this Mishnah is going to be that we went into a contract, a relationship where I was going to do a service for that individual, and I did not do what was instructed. And as a result of that, a loss was caused. And as a result of that, so there needs to be some sort of compensation needed. And so we begin. There are three different scenarios in which the Mishnah is going to present over here. Number one, So number one is that I give wool to the dyer. Dyer over here, D-Y-E-R. So I give wool to the dyer, and obviously what I want him to do is to take the wool and dye it and present it a particular color. But over here, however, he totally is negligent, and what he does is he just simply burns the wool. In other words, he puts the wool into the pot, burns the wool, and the pot obviously was way too hot. The point of putting the wool in the pot was obviously to collect and to absorb a particular color, but even before we got to the point of color, so he just simply burns the wool. So now what he has to do is he has to just simply pay me back, make compensation on the wool. Okay, so that part is very easy. It's an extraordinarily straightforward scenario here in the Mishnah, in which he just simply destroys what was mine. So scenario number two in the Mishnah, tzavo kaor. Okay, so he dyed it, but he did a terrible job. He did an inferior job. The Gemara is going to give a description over here, if I may, just present the Gemara before we see the Gemara inside. And that is basically, instead of dyeing it properly, in other words, as if I knew how to dye something. I have no idea how to dye something. I have no experience. But I get the basic idea, however. In other words, you're going to be taking some amanim, you're going to be taking some sort of spices, chemicals, natural chemicals. In other words, whatever, saffron or whatever grows out of the ground. And you're going to put it into a boiling pot of water. You're going to put the wool in said pot, and the wool is going to collect the color. Okay, that is my extraordinarily inexperienced and unprofessional explanation of how you color something, how you dye something. Anyway, but what happened over here is that instead of using the samamonim in its original, what you did is basically it was already used once before, and you took the leftovers and you try to dye with the leftovers, right? Right, ledugma is for an example, by the way, right? Me and my coffee making, right? One of my small obsessions in life. So in other words, it's trying to get water through the grinds a second time. Okay, in other words, the first time, so now the water collects the real flavor of the grinds, and now you're cooking. Now you have what's called coffee. However, okay, members of my family, I'm not going to tell you who, but they try to pass the water in through a second time, and obviously what's going to come out is water that, it looks like coffee, but in other words, but it's not coffee. So anyway, okay, you can like that explanation. You cannot. You can ignore it. Either way, so tzvo kaor. So that's what my dyer did. My dyer did something similar to that. So now, at that point in time, he was non-compliant. In other words, that was not dying. In other words, and he did not do the kind of job that he was commissioned to do. Okay, so this is already a dereliction of duty on his part. And now, basically, I'm in the driver's seat. Me, the owner of the wall. Where, in other words, what I was going to do, had he done a good job, is I would have paid him. In other words, I would have paid him whatever the contracted agreement price was. In other words, whatever we agreed to, right? I gave him the wool, and I was going to give him a certain amount in order to dye it properly. But he didn't dye it properly. He did a terrible job. He did a really inferior job. So under those circumstances, so now im hashevach yeser litia nos in esesiv im yisia yiser el hashevach nos in laos hashevach. So the only thing I'm going to give him is either Yitzia or Shevach, whichever number is lower. What is Yitzia? Yitzia is basically the dyes that he used in order to make it. Okay, his expenses. Thank you so much. Right, I'm just trying to speak the English language, and I knew the word was floating somewhere in my head. So the Yitzia or the expenses. In other words, obviously he had expenses. The contracted price obviously was going to go well above the expenses, but okay. In other words, it's a skill, and I'm paying for the skill. But in other words, but over here, again, a dereliction of duty based on the fact that he did an inferior job. So the only thing I'm going to be paying now is either expenses or the improvement. In other words, the wool obviously improved in price. In other words, the wool was, I'm just throwing out numbers, let's say $20 worth of wool that I gave him. Now that it has coloring in it, so the price of the wool now is increased. And so I would have paid for this. In other words, there's obviously a shevach in the wool. So now, because he didn't do his job correctly, so now either I'm going to pay the expenses or I'm going to be paying the shevach, whichever number is lower. That's where we are in terms of the only thing now I need to pay him. Okay. Now, so far, case number one is where he just simply destroyed my wool. Case number two is where he did dye it. But an empirically inferior job. Clearly, he did an inferior job. So then I only have to pay him either Shevach or Yitzir, whichever number is lower. Scenario number three of the Mishnah. Litzvah lo adam mitzav v'shachar. Now, this should sound familiar because we've been quoting this case in the Mishnah time and again. And so now he died and he did a great job. Wrong color. Okay, wrong color. So in other words, my instructions were black and he did red. My instructions were red and he did a black. So everything is perfect except he got the color wrong. And he acknowledges, he admits he got the color wrong. So now what? So, okay. So now, according to Rabbi Meir, Demei Simro is that he's got to now pay me back the wool. So now what he gets to do is he gets to keep it. So Rashi writes, sure. You take a look at Rashi inside. So Litzolo Adam Kani Bishinu LeRameir. So Rashi writes an explanation of Rameir. In other words, he was Kona. He acquired it. In other words, he was Mishana. He deviated from my instructions. My instructions were black, he dyed it red. My instructions were red, he dyed it black. A deviation from my instructions, and as a result of that, you're Kona Bishinui. Meaning that really is the theme of the Perek. Right? You're wondering why we're discussing this case over here in the ninth Perek of Baba Kama, because that's really thematically the topic of the ninth Perek of Baba Kama. How Shinui is Kona. And over here, according to Rav Meir, this is an example of Shinui. Now, he's not a thief, but at the same time, however, I gave him product of mine, I gave him my wool, and with the clear instructions of what color I want it, and then he went against my instructions, so therefore it's a Shinui, and therefore he's going to be Kona. Okay. Udimei Timur lo amr denesav dilikneiu shivcha detsemer dahabitseva shehisneim otseva veleke shinui denikne. What did I just do? I just jumped to a different Rashi. Never mind. Okay. Anyway, that's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, back to the Mishnah. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says that what I'm going to do now is that I'm going to take back the wool, even though it's not the color that I wanted, and I'm going to be paying, but I'm going to be paying nominal amount. I'm not going to be paying our contracted fee. But rather what I'm going to be paying is either going to be the expenses or the shevach, whichever number is lower. Okay. And Rashi writes over here, in other words, what is the shita of Rabbi Yehuda? So Rabbi Yehuda says Rashi is a kenas, meaning that really Rabbi Yehuda fundamentally acknowledges Ramir's position, which is there was a shinui and he was konevaya shinui. That's true. But at the same time, however, look, I told him what I wanted and he deviated from my instructions. He wasn't careful. And so therefore, according to Rav Yehuda, a knas is to be imposed. It's a penalty. So the mishvacha, meaning he should get no benefit for whatsoever from the improvement. Nor is he to collect his full salary, our agreed salary. The only thing he's going to get is his expenses. So whichever number is the lowest number, be it the expenses, be it the improvement, or being whatever we contracted to agreement, meaning if that number is the lower number, you give him the lower of those numbers, that's a penalty for deviating from my instructions. A good adkan, that takes us to the end of the Mishnah. We have over here three scenarios in the Mishnah where I hand wool over to the dyer. In scenario number one, he just simply destroys the wool. Obviously, he's got to make restitution on the wool. Scenario number two, he does dye it, but clearly an inferior form of dyeing. And scenario number three, he dyes it properly, but just simply the wrong color. In each one of those scenarios, the Mishnah goes through what exactly are going to be the ramifications of deviating or destroying. The Gemara's first discussion, my ka'or. In scenario number two, so he did an inferior job. So the Mishnah over here uses very ambiguous language to describe dying it in an inferior manner. So I'm Rav Nachman, I'm Rav Barchana, kalbos. Oh, you know what kor is? It's kalbos. So my kalbos. So the Gemara says that's great, but that's only great if I know what kalbos is. I'm a Rabba Barshmoa, kafra dudi. Kafra dudi. Okay, so what I tried describing earlier, so the Gemara right over here. Kafra dudi, if you look at the top Rashi in Kuf Aleph and Aleph, kinach bo es hayora, klamar, bishayarit sevish, nishtar biyarit savo. In other words, the pot was already used for dyeing once before. I have residual dye along the side of the pot, and the guy gave me the wool in order to dye. So you know what I do? I take the wool and I just wipe it along the side of the pot. The pot was already used for dyeing, and this is just residual dye that's lingering on the side of the pot. And I try to pass that off as I now dyed it. Clearly what I give him, however, is going to be inferior in quality in terms of dye. And as a result of that, it's no good. And that's a deviation, a dereliction of my duty. And as a result of that, the only thing I'm going to give him is either shevach or yitziah, improvement or expenses, whichever number is lower. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, we're on Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph, and we're going to be doing the same exact thing we just did, but instead of wool and the dyer, we're going to talk here about a carpenter. And that is, I know today, it's in Lecharash, I give wood over to a carpenter. Now, my instructions were, make me a chair, and what he does is he goes and makes me safsal. Now, when we speak and we say the word safsal, modern Hebrew, safsal is a bench. The Rambam in his Perush HaMishnah, it's not here, but the Rambam in his Perush HaMishnah says that safsal is a particularly small chair. Whatever it is, there's a clear differentiation between a kisei and a safsal. They're not the same. So, and the point is that I commissioned my carpenter to make a kisei, and he made a safsal. So, safsal vasa man kisei. Alternatively, my instructions were to make a safsal, and he made a kisei. Rabbi Meir omer no sin lo deme eitzav. So according to Rabbi Meir, so fine. So what happened now is that the carpenter acquired the item via shinui. Obviously, after making restitution, but restitution only on that which I gave him. What did I give him? I gave him wood, so he's got to return back the wood to me. Again, by the way, if you take the Mishnah, you take the Braisa that we're learning right now, you put them side by side, it's a perfect match. In our Mishnah, remember when I told him to dye it red and he dyed it black, according to Rabbi Meir, so he's just simply going to return wool to me. Raw wool. In other words, the wool that I gave him, he's got to replace it. Either the raw wool or the value of the raw wool. Same thing over here. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im Shevach Yisrael Yitziah Nosin Lo Yitziah. V'im Yitziah Yisrael Shevach Nosin Lo Shevach. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, no. In other words, again, same Rabbi Yehuda as on our Mishnah, just a different example, but the same point. And that is that over here, Kenas. My carpenter didn't follow the instructions. He made something, but not what I instructed him to do. I'm going to take back the chair, bench, whatever he made, and I'll pay him. But what I'm going to pay him, however, is either going to be his expenses or the improvement of going from the wood to the now chair that he created. And that's it. That's all I'm going to pay him. But not the contracted fee. Good. And here's where Reb Meir is going to agree to Reb Yehuda. And that is that I told him to make me a nice chair and he makes me a poor chair. He makes me an inferior chair. So under those circumstances, Reb Meir will say to Reb Yehuda, here's where you and I are the same. We are in perfect agreement over here. That the only thing I'm going to be paying you is just either the Yitzhi or the Shevach, whichever number is lower. Meaning, like in our Mishnah. Again, this is to say it's the same point that we learned on our Mishnah. It just happens to be that instead of wool, we're talking here about wood fashioning into a chair. And again, if he makes the chair that I ask him to make, but clearly an inferior quality chair, so then under those circumstances, a knas is imposed, and I'm only going to be paying him either expenses or improvement, whichever number is lower. Okay, good, Adkan. And the purpose of us going through that Bryce over here is just simply to illustrate another example of this idea, where the craftsman deviated from his instructions. And under those circumstances, what are going to be the ramifications? Instead of using the example of wool, like we use in our Mishnah and the Braisa, we use the example of wood. Okay, but it comes out to the same point. Had he made me a cabinet and my instructions were? Oh, so same story. In other words, same story. In other words, Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda would be arguing in terms of what the ramifications are going to be. Okay, Ibailu, Yeshevach Simanim Alatzemer, Wayne Shevach Simanim Alatzemer. Okay. And now the Gemara is going to launch into, and this is going to take up a good part of today's daf, the following discussion, and that is that the dye that exists on the wall. So is the dye, can the dye halachically be viewed as an independent entity? Okay. Now, as I'm presenting the question, I already know at this juncture that it's really hard to process what exactly the Gemara's question is. In fact, the Gemara itself is going to go through a couple of iterations and a couple of rounds of trying to clarify its own question. So if at this point in time, you're hearing what I'm saying, trying to process what I'm saying, and you're not fully understanding, like, what's the Gemara's question? Don't worry, you're not alone. The Gemara itself is going to struggle in terms of trying to process the question. So hechi dami. So good. So I read, I translated, but I admit right now we're not yet at the point of understanding. Hopefully we'll get there. So maybe the following of that is, what did I do? I stole the simonim. I stole the spices necessary in order to make the dye. I stole the spices, I ground up the spices, I soaked it in water, and I used it, and I dyed it. So typically, mishum dekanim b'shinui. So the Gemara says, so what's the question over there? What is the question over there? The Gemara says, I don't even understand. The moment I took your spices and I ground it up, that is a shinui. And obviously, at that point in time, discussion over, question over, there's nothing more to discuss. By me grinding it up, I now created a permanent change in the item in which I took, and therefore I acquired it. Okay, so that's not even open for discussion. So the Gemara says, okay, so what happened is the following. So what did I steal? I went over to my neighbor's house, and he already took his thumb on him. He already ground it up. He already soaked it in water, and now he's got a pot of boiling water with the spices in there, with the simonim in there. And what did I do? So then I took my wool and I absorbed the color. And now I walked away of his house with the wool, with the actual simonim that is now infused into my wool. Good. So my yeshevach simonim agabe tzeba d'amalei havli simonim d'shakatino odil man yeshevach simonim agabe tzeba d'amalei leifzech gabai velomidi. Now, at this point, the Gemara proposes that here's now what we're going to be deliberating. On one hand, give me back my simonim. Now, the simonim now are in the form of dye that's on your wool. Okay, so basically, give that back to me. Now, how exactly am I going to get back the actual color? That part's a little bit tricky. But maybe, regardless of how exactly you're going to get it back, in other words, the claim is a valid claim. Right, my spices now are in the form of color on your wool. I deserve that back. That's one possibility. Alternatively, I could turn around and say to him, we're talking about color. It's not mamashus. It's not something which is concrete. It's something that's more abstract. I know I'm not the best guy in the world. I know I'm not the nicest guy in the world, but what do I really owe you? I don't owe you anything. So Amri v'i ain shevach simanim agabit sever mi matzi amrle leisach gabay v'lo midi namele havli siman daf sadatino. Even as the Gemara proposes this, the Gemara immediately rejects it. What are you talking about? Meaning that clearly what you did is you absorbed my spices. I had simanim on the pot, and now by you putting your wool into my pot with my simanim, you absorbed it. You've caused a real loss to me. We're going to start debating whether or not the color is something abstract or something mamushus. You know what? Even before we have that discussion, when all is said and done, I had simonim in the pot. By you absorbing it, you took my simonim. So, of course, you owe me. So, elalach gisa. So, the Gemara says, okay. Okay, you're right. That point is outstanding. And so, let's try to do this a different way. Ein shevach simonim agabei tzeber. Okay. So, I absolutely caused you a loss. I absolutely need to reimburse you. So, can reimbursement simply come in the form of, you took my simonim, now pay for it? That's one possibility. The alternative is that you're right. I took your simonim. It's now in the form of color on my wool. Here, take the color. You're going to ask the obvious question, which the Gemara is about to ask. Take the color. How do you take color off the wall? Shaklinu, that's Gemara's next question. Shaklinu b'may shakle. B'tzafon, So what are you going to use? You're going to use soap? So, Safan Avur Me'aver Hashem Elohavim. Yeah. The soap's going to get the color off the wall. What the soap is not going to be able to do is then be able to then transfer that color that you got off the wall and hand it back to the original owner of that color. Okay, so again, the Gemara says, look, you're trying to construct a scenario in which we're going to wrap our head around what is the status of color. But when all is said and done, practically speaking, what exactly would the case even look like? So Allah Hakabah my skin could go into Gazal Semra Bisan Manim de Khavitzavilo Semra Banav Simanim, Vikamahadale Nihalal Semer, Yeshevak Semanim Agabe Seber, Vikamahadale Semanim Vitsemer, Odelma Yeshevak Semanim Agabe Semer, Vitsemer Mahadale Semanim Lamahadale. Okay, so here now, the Gemara presents the following. Now the question's going to really clear up. What I did is the following. I went over to my neighbor. He had wool and he had the Semanim, and I stole both. Okay, wonderful. And then what I did is that I went back home and I balled up those simanim and I dyed the wool that I stole. Okay, so the wool and the tzemer that were both belong to one. Sorry, let's do that again better. The wool and the simanim that belonged to that one individual, I stole both items, and then I boiled the simanim and infused the color into the wool. Okay. After having done all that, I decide, you know what? Tshuva. Let's try to undo what I did. Okay. Well, right? I stole two times over. So let's try to undo what I did. If color is something mamash, if it's something which is real and not abstract. So now what I could do is I can go back to the nigzal. I'll go back to the victim and say, really sorry, I stole from you, and I want to return back both items. So here's the wool, and here's the samanim. Now, it happens to be that the samanim has now been converted from spices to now color. But the color's real, and the color's right there in the wool. So now, I have fulfilled my obligation of Heshef HaZegzela. I've returned now the wool, and I've returned the samanim. I know the samanim now comes in the form of color, but color is davar mamashi. It's something which is real, and therefore I'm returning it.
But it's not the same wool that he stole.
It's not the same. It's not the same wool. It's not the same simanim. Right? Both have undergone a change. Right. Okay. Point is excellent. Again, the Gemara is trying to come up with a scenario in which we're looking at color as a entity. But you're right. Your point is so good. The alternative, of course, is that no. In other words, color is not something mamashut. It's not concrete. It's more abstract than it is concrete. And I can't go back and say to him, here's the color. And I get to now fulfill the pasuk of Aheshev HaZegzela. So Amri Tepekle, Di'yakar Leini Halabedmeh. Okay. So the Gemara says, even as we're trying to come up with a practical scenario over here, so I don't understand. In other words, even if the color is something which is abstract and not real, but in other words, but the wool, however, has improved in price. In other words, what are you going to do? You're going to ignore the fact that it was undyed wool. Now it's dyed wool. It obviously went up in price. So in other words, in the very least, what we should do now is that we should factor that the wool undyed was $100. Now dyed, appreciated to $150. I know I'm making up numbers over here. But in other words, you can't just ignore the fact that I'm returning to him wool at a higher value. So the Gemara says, well, tzricha d'zal tziva. The Gemara says, okay, I know, but look, we're constructing the question. So as part of the question, we can include as part of the question that dyed wool is not fetching any higher price in the market. I know it's a funny market, I have to admit. Okay, so where are we right now? So question number one on the table is that if I steal wool and I steal dye, and I go ahead now and I combine the two, and I convert the dye into color, so now I'm returning the wool with the color on it. Is that color considered something concrete? And therefore, I have fulfilled the mitzvah of Heshef HaZegzela? Or no? Color is much more abstract than it is concrete. I've returned the wool, but I have not returned the color. I've not returned the dye. And now, separately, I'm going to have to reimburse for the dye. That is the way the Gemara formulates the question. Effectively, it's just a way of trying to wrap its head around this idea of color. Is it concrete or is it abstract? Or, you know, somewhere in the middle. Alternatively, another way to explain this question is where, now Rashi really struggles with this alternative suggestion of the Gemara over here. Rashi offers two pshatim. Can I tell you what Rashi's first pshat is? And that is what I did is I dyed somebody's monkey. Monkey. Okay, the word kofa over here, Rashi first pshat, it's a kofa, it's a monkey. Gaza kofa, simanim v'tzav, it's a kofa, machzir lo delo yakar lei. Right, the Rashi in his first pshat argues that, in other words, what I did is that somebody's monkey and somebody's die. I sold the two of them and I dipped the monkey. I can't believe I'm saying this. I cannot believe it. So, and I dipped the monkey in the die, and now instead of returning back his monkey, I returned to him back a blue monkey. Okay, I feel like Dr. Seuss right now. So the and the monkey does not appreciate in value. And again, it's just another way of formulating the question of, so now the color is coming now in just an abstract form of color. And on top of that, there clearly is no improvement. Okay. You see, Rashi offers another pshat as well. Anyway, we're going to go on from here. Ravina mar hacha b'mayiskin and kigon d'tzemer d'cha v'simanim d'chad. So, v'kasi kofit tzave lahu tzemer b'hanach simanim. Yeshevach simanim agabi tzemer d'amalei havli simanim d'gabach ninu. Odel main shevach simanim v'amalei lesach gabai klum. Okay. Ravina will do the same thing. He will just change the scenario a little bit. Basically, you have the following. You have wool belonging to one person, dye belonging to another person, and along comes a monkey. Now, over here, the monkey's involvement, you're not dipping the monkey in the dye over here, but in other words, the monkey's involvement just simply means is that we have somebody responsible, but somebody who is not responsible. Meaning the monkey obviously is not going to have liability. And then I know what I'm going to be getting as a question, by the way. What about the owner of the monkey? Isn't he going to be liable? And my answer, of course, would be yes. But just for the purposes of this case over here, let's assume that there is no owner of the monkey. Okay, so, and basically what the monkey now does is that the monkey goes ahead and he cooks the dye. What a smart monkey. He cooks the dye and he soaks the wool in the dye. Okay, now, What the owner of the dye wants, obviously, is his dye back. And now, the responsible person who did it was the monkey. He's not responsible. He's an irresponsible party. And so now, can he go over to the owner of the wool and say, hey, give me back my dye. And the owner of the wool now, effectively, if the color is something concrete, he's got to give it back. If color is, however, something more abstract, he could say to him, look, as far as your dye is concerned, it's no longer here. What do I have on my garment? I have color? Color's not concrete, it's abstract. And therefore, there's nothing that I owe you. Okay. Ravina is just giving another way of formulating this question of, how do we see color? As something concrete or something abstract? Okay, good. Tashma. Good. Okay, so we are now towards the bottom of Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph, and we are wrapping our head around this question of, what is color? Is color concrete or is color abstract? Okay, so Begeshitzava Beklipe Arla Yidalek. So over here, a Mishnah Arla, third parak of Arla, right? The Mishnayos of Arla, any fruit that comes off of a tree 3 years into its planting, so the fruit is going to be Asur Ba'achila. It's going to be Asur Ba'ana. That fruit is called Arla. Arla only applies to the fruit, not to the actual branch itself. Rashi over here writes it. Good. So that was a crash course in Arla. And so over here, what do? I have a garment that was colored with Arla fruit. So what did I do? I took the Arla fruit, I extracted the color from the Arla fruit, and infused it into a garment. And so now what do I have to do with the garment? I got to destroy the garment, even though the garment only has color. Perfect. Meaning, right, we are litigating a somewhat of an abstract question in terms of whether or not color is concrete or abstract. And over here, the Mishnah Arla, it's a home run. The Mishnah Arla is telling us that color is not something abstract. If it were abstract, I would say, look, I know this has the color of Arla fruit in it, but it's just color. But meanwhile, what the Mishnah tells us is that no, that the garment has to be destroyed because that Arla coloring is real. It's not abstract. Amachazusa milstahi. So the Gemara says, you see that it's something which is concrete. So Amar Rava Hana Nir Leinai Masr Torah. So Kidatanya. So the Gemara says, okay, Arla is unique, and it's not going to be a good prototype to teach us about the principle of whether or not Chazus is Milsa or Lav Milsa. In fact, the Gemara says, look at the following brisa, Kidatanya. Arelam lo yechal ein liyal eser achila, minayin shalo yehaneh mehem. Now, the Torah says that I can eat Arla. How do I know that Hana is also included? Velo yitzbavo, and you're not allowed to die with Arla fruit. And lo yadlik bo saner, and I am not allowed to use it as illumination. So in other words, obviously, we're talking about olives and using it as oil. So tamalam arvar lo samar lo saos per yo arelim lo ye achel. Look at the verbose language of the pasuk when describing Arla. Arlartem arla saos per yo arelim. Three times in the pasuk. Right, we had trivia this past Shabbos. We found this great Parsha challenge. All right, if I can give proper credit right now and tell you how to find it, I would. Anyway, you could subscribe to it. So the Parsha challenge questions, we use it every Shabbos. So the one of the Parsha challenge questions this week is find me a word that's repeated in last week's Parsha. Last week's Parsha is Mishpatim. Find me a word that's repeated seven times in three Psukim in last week's Parsha. Okay, if I may spoil it right now, the word is tachas, right? Ein tachas ein, shein tachas shein. Anyway, the word tachas is repeated seven times within three pasukim. So over here, the word arel repeated three times in one pasuk. So the rabbis is kulam. And the word arel, the fact that the Torah repeats arel again and again tells me that not only is there an issur not to eat arla, but not to benefit from arla, not to use it, not to use the coloring of arla, not to use the illumination of arla. Okay. So in other words, but what do we see from all this? Arla is different, and it's not the standard. So the Gemara says, Tashma beged shetzava beklipe shvius yidalek. So the Gemara says, okay, so now let's move to another agricultural iser, and that, of course, is shvius, during the Shemitah year. So any growth that comes out of the ground, so what can I do with growth that comes out of the ground in the Shemitah year? So I can enjoy it, but only via eating. La'achla. But v'lo l'schora. You can't do produce with it. You can't do commerce with it, sorry. And on top of that, also with Arla, so there is also a Shasabir. In other words, there's an expiration date for Arla fruit, where after the expiration date, right now I'm just going to say it nice and simple today, like the Rambam, and that is what you have to do. You have to destroy it. It needs destruction. Again, that's the Rambam's opinion. Not everyone agrees with the Rambam, but just for simplicity's sake. So what happens now if I go ahead and I dye clothing using the fruit of Shemitah? So Yidalev. So what you need to do is that after the Shasabir, you need to destroy the clothing. So what do I see over here? That the coloring of Arla is not abstract. It's real. It's concrete. So Shani Hasam, Amakra, Tiye, Behav Yasotehe. So once again, the Gemara will say this effectively the same thing, which is Shvius is different. The Pasuk tells us that it is in a state of perpetuity. Whatever I use the Arla fruit for will always have the status of Arla, even if it's just coloring. Okay. Rav Rami. We're on the top of the Amud Beis. So, Tanan Begit Shetzava Beklipa Arla Yidalek Amachazus Amilsehi. So, one Mishnah, which we already saw this morning, the first Mishnah, the third parak of Arla, tells us that if I have coloring of Arla fruit into clothing, into wool, it needs to be destroyed. Good. Urimina Riviyas Dam, Shinivla Babayas Abayas Tame, Vramila Abayas Tahor, Velo Pligi, Habakilim, Dahavami Karava, Habakilim, Dasul of itself. Okay. Blood in a house. The blood, if you have Riviyas of Dam, it's Metame Be Ohel. And so over here, one Brisa tells us that the blood in the house, all the Kalim. I know the Brisa says the house, but as Rashi points out over here, and we all know this, houses do not become Tame. We just simply mean the contents of the house, the Kalim in the house. So one brisa tells us that the contents of the house is tummy. Another brisa tells us that the content of the house is tahor, but the resolution is very simple. In other words, before the blood gets absorbed into the ground, meaning as long as the blood's there, so then you're looking at the blood being a source of tumas ohel, and therefore all the kalim in the house are going to be tummy. If on the other hand, the blood absorbs into the ground of the house, so now, kalim come in afterwards. Kalim are going to be tummy. I'm sorry. Kalim are going to be tahor, not tummy. Good. Habikim dasa b'sof. Nivlu b'ksus. Now, what we want over here, everything we did up until now is good, but this is what we want to focus on. Now, let's say the blood gets absorbed into a garment. Ah. So now, so, if we were now to extract the blood out of the garment, the assumption the Gemara is making right now is that you're not going to get the exact volume of blood out of the garment that went into the garment. The garment is going to permanently collect some of the blood. So, if I have blood collected in a garment, if I could squeeze out a revius of the blood, so then that is a revius dam, which is going to be metame. If, on the other hand, there may be a revius dam, but I can't squeeze out a revius. Let's say, for example, there's a revius amount of blood in the garment, which by definition now means I can't squeeze out a revius. So then we don't have a revius dam, and therefore tahor. Right? Now Rashi points out the actual garment itself, of course, is Tameh. But in other words, but the blood being now a Tumas Ohel, a source of Tumas Ohel, it's not going to be Metameh Ba'ohel. Okay. Now the Gemara says, well, the Gemara doesn't even spell this out. But as Rashi points out over here, what's the question? The question is actually pretty straightforward, which is, wait one second. If coloring is concrete, even if I can't squeeze all the blood out of the garment, let's say of the revius of blood that was in the garment, let's say we squeezed out 90%. Okay, but with the 10%, I'm looking at it. It's in the garment. It's the coloring of the garment. If coloring is concrete, so now let's take the 90% that we squeezed out. Let's take the 10% that's now only just coloring of the garment. But in other words, but if coloring is concrete, what do we have over here? We have a revius dam. And therefore, the house should be tameh. What difference does it make whether I can squeeze it out or I can't squeeze it out? What it sounds like is that the revius blood that's in the garment, meaning the coloring aspect of it, is not concrete, it's abstract, and therefore can't be added. And so therefore, where we are right now is we're a little bit stuck because the Mishnah Arla tells us that coloring needs to be destroyed, meaning coloring is concrete, it's not abstract. And meanwhile, the Mishnah, when it comes to Olos, tells us that the coloring in the garment, as far as blood is concerned, is abstract, not concrete. Now, it's funny, by the way, because just moments earlier, the Gemara told us that when it comes to Arla, Arla is unique and special. And you can't ask from other places in Halacha to Arla. And right now, the Gemara just asked from Arla to Dam. So,
but also, blood is not dying. It can pretend like it's dying, but it's really not dying.
Okay, good. It's a good point. I was thinking similar. Amrav Kahana, the Gemara gives a different answer. Mikula Revia Shanukan Bedam Tvusa de Rabbanan. So the Gemara says that over here, what we're talking about is not dam that is tame for sure, but suffic. It only possibly may be tame, not definitively tame. What are we talking about over here? Rashi explains, well, whenever we describe dam tivusa, it's a term you may not be familiar with. It doesn't come up that often in Shas. But dam tivusa is that Rachmanis, somebody is dying by bleeding, and in other words, he's losing a lot of blood, and as a result of that, the person died. The blood that came out before he died, that's not tameh. The blood that comes out after he died, that is tameh. And over here, as he's bleeding out and dying while bleeding out, so now this blood is a collection of dam before he died and dam after he died, and we don't know which represents the majority. So now this is a suffix. So over here, when it comes to this dam tavusa, this suffic blood, so therefore we have the right to be more makel. That's why that when I have this blood and it's only, and I can't extract a full revius from the garment, and only and some of it staying in the garment, we're going to be makel over here because the blood to begin with is not definitively a source of tuma. Okay, good. Let's pause over here. Happens to be a pretty good place to pause. Tomorrow we're going to do another stira, but this goes into tomorrow's daf. So let's leave this off for tomorrow. Let's quickly recap. Let's review. We did the Mishnah Kufam and Beis that talked about where a dyer was given instructions to dye wool. And irresponsible dyer. Scenario number one, he burns the wool. Scenario number two, he does an inferior job of dyeing. And in scenario number three, he just dyes it with the wrong color. What are the ramifications of those three scenarios? So that we covered in the Mishnah. On the third scenario, machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, in terms of what the ramifications would be. According to Rav Meir, he was kone b'shinui. According to Rav Yehuda, we're going to consent him. We're going to penalize him for having deviated and dyed it the wrong color. In the Gemara and Kuf Alpha Madal, the first thing that we did is that we express the same idea but with a carpenter in wood as opposed to a dyer in wool. But it comes out to effectively the same point. And then for the remainder of today's daf, so we asked an abstract question. Okay? And I mean that with pun intended. And that is that when you take the color of dye and you put it into the wool, so now it's only reflected as a color. Is that color something that halacha recognizes as something substantial? Or no? Is the color something which is more abstract and not substantial? In other words, right, let's practically play that out. What if now, let's say I stole it, converted it to color, and returned the color to its owner? Can I now say that I fulfilled the mitzvah of Heshev HaZegzela? Yes or no? Now again, the question is complicated by the fact that obviously I made a shinui and I changed it, and obviously it becomes complicated how to actually spell out this question, how to speak this question out into a practical example. That's why the Gemara was so long today in trying to spell it out. But effectively, from a takeaway point from today's daf, is color something which is abstract or is it concrete? The Gemara asks this question. When it comes to returning a stolen object, the Gemara doesn't resolve the question, but practically speaking, let's say I take arla fruit and convert it to color. Does that coloring now need to be destroyed? The answer is yes. Seems to be a pretty clear resolution to this question. Gemara said arla may be different. And then what we did is that we posed the stira between arla and dam, whereby arla, clearly the coloring needs to be destroyed. Is the dam going to give off tumma? The dam coloring is going to give off tumma. So the Braisa said, no, it's not. The Gemara says, yeah, but that may not be talking about real dam. That may be talking about dam, which is only tamei midrabanan.